Welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget that also you can always listen to the shows again if you go to our website, which is www.nagb.org.bs. Go to the Learn menu, scroll down to Blank Canvas, and you can listen to the MP3, you can forward it to friends, you can listen to old shows, etc., etc. So in case you miss anything, you can always listen to it again. I'm in the studio tonight with Anthony Big Mo Morley, who is right now having a show at the National Art Gallery called The Bahamas on Canvas, Historic and Nostalgic. It's a really charming show, so I encourage you to come see that. Don't forget, the NAGB is open from Tuesday to Sunday, and on Sunday it's always free to the public. So there's no need to not come or feel that you're excluded or can't come. It's always free for all Bahamians and any residents of the Bahamas on Sunday. And the rest of the week, it's, again, Tuesday to Saturday, 10 to 5. Sunday is noon to 5. So you can come with the whole family after church and join in with your visual culture and creative community. So I'm here with Big Mo. We were talking before the break about how he got into art, how he was encouraged by his teachers, government high school, went off working for Junkanoo for the Valley Boys with Gus Cooper for many, many years. And in that time, were you still painting?
Not as much.
Mm-hmm.
I had to put down the brush
mm-hmm.
because the canvas was now the cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we also worked with wire.
Mm-hmm.
We worked with styrofoam,
mm-hmm.
PVC pipe, aluminum mm-hmm. rods.
Mm-hmm.
So I had very little time to work
mm-hmm.
on the canvas. In fact, a lot of my friends and colleagues didn't even know
mm-hmm.
I used to paint.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they didn't know.
Wow.
Just didn't know.
It was your closet secret. You're a closet painter.
Yes.
So when did you go back? Because now when you tell me that you studied business management at school, at university, I'm like, now it makes sense that he had his own studio and store. Because sometimes that's where a lot of creatives will grapple with is being able to actually manage like the business end of what they do.
Yes.
And it seemed to me like you had your little store there right by Blue Hill Road at the bottom of the hill on, I can't remember the name of that.
That's Harold Road.
Is that Harold Road?
Yes.
But didn't it get renamed? Isn't it Tony?
Well, it's
anyway,
Tony.
Used to be Harold Road.
Yes, it used to be Harold Road.
Old Harold Road.
Yes, but let me say for the record that store's closed.
Oh, I know. I know it is. Yes. But I remember it so well,
yes.
Right? Because you always saw it.
Yes.
Like driving by.
Yes.
So for me, that was like kind of, I don't know, it was a bit like the chicken and the conch. It was sort of a landmark.
You
right?
couldn't miss it.
Couldn't miss it.
Bright yellow.
So how did you get there?
Well, I was painting in my backyard and a young lady passed by, I think attending the after party of a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I forget
the wake.
Right. Yes. And she saw me working in the yard and she told her boss, who was the owner of Nassau Glass.
Andrew Rogers.
Mr. Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his wife were gracious. They called me in and they bought some of the work. And they continued to buy the work. And that helped propel me
mm-hmm.
to the point where I wanted to open a private studio,
mm-hmm.
Which I did. And I became very successful by it.
Yeah.
Thanks to them.
But so, Nessie, now it sounds like you're 90 years old because you're like... You're like, I was in Junkanoo for 30 years, and then now I've had this whole second thing as a... So how did it happen at the same time? Or, like, when did you start painting in your backyard if you didn't have time for it? And did you then give up Junkanoo? Was it a transit? Was it something you were doing simultaneously at a certain point?
Or? Well, yeah. I was doing it together, right?
Yeah.
But I wanted to spend... At this point, I wanted to spend more time on the canvas.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had to rediscover
right.
the canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And I acquainted myself with the linseed oil and the turpentine
mm-hmm.
all over again. All
because right? you paint in oil.
Yes, I paint
right,
in oil.
Which is different. So,
yes.
I mean, that's a whole different practice from
yes.
from acrylic painting, which is what a lot of youngsters use, or a lot of people use. I mean, many people use acrylic, but oil is a whole different,
yes.
different ball game.
And then at that point, I started painting lots of Junkanoo.
Mm-hmm.
What I wanted to do what I did was I would take a picture mm-hmm. of my friends and colleagues on Bay Street,
mm-hmm.
take it back to the studio, try to reproduce it almost the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I add my little flavor here and there. And they began purchasing them for their archives.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty good. And then, of course, people started commissioning me to do work for their homes and their offices. Mm-hmm. And it just took off from there.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. So it's sort of a chance encounter.
Yes.
You've been lucky.
I've been fortunate.
You've been lucky, but also you've been you've always been fortunate, but you've had some ups and downs. You've had some trials and tribulations that you
yes.
worked through.
Yes. Should I talk about it a little bit?
Please do, because I think it's it kind of shows how art can take you through things, but also how mentally and spiritually you can get through things.
Yes. Well, I went through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was my fault. And that.
Oh, wow, that takes a big man.
Well, the truth be told.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I had to bounce back from that.
Mm-hmm.
And another good friend of mine, Jane Michelle Bethel,
mm-hmm.
she invited me to set up a gallery at the old Fort Bay
mm-hmm.
shopping complex.
Mm-hmm.
And we went down there and we did pretty good in the beginning, mm-hmm. you know. We began painting larger pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I began putting in more details.
Mm-hmm.
And things began rolling very, very well. But then came the disappointments. I had an accident
mm-hmm.
in New York
mm-hmm.
while shopping for art supplies.
Mm-hmm.
I encountered a neck injury and a back injury.
Wow.
That took about a little more than a year to heal. And, of course, it pulled me away from the business.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I encountered another accident.
Wow.
Hit from the back. And this time, there was a major injury to my lower lumbar,
mm-hmm.
L4 and L5.
Mm-hmm.
That took me out completely.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, not being able to man the business, not being able to find the right people to run the business, not being able to go back to the business,
mm-hmm.
I lost it.
Mm-hmm.
My doctors told me, if you had died, you would not have the business anyhow. Let's see if we can get you well.
Mm-hmm. Well, they got a point there.
Yeah. It took me about a year to find the right doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about that because I went all over the United States,
mm-hmm.
Florida, New York, San Francisco, trying to find a specialist because what I had was called scoliosis,
mm-hmm.
and it really wasn't a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I was scheduled to do an operation in Nassau.
Mm-hmm.
3 days out, I was shopping for some plants, and a friend of mine said, why are you walking with a stick? And why do you look so painful? And I, of course, told the story of how I got injured. And she introduced me to a friend of hers, the owner of a hotel on Paradise Island. It'll come to me.
Mm-hmm.
The name will come to me. Comfort Suites.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Yep, yep.
Okay. And the owner didn't know me at all. She had bought my work. Didn't know it was my work. It was on display in the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
But she invited me to dinner after hearing of my injury.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I understand you're going to have an operation in 3 days. I said, yes. She said, well, I have an alternative. And she told me about her doctor
mm-hmm.
at Mount Sinai
mm-hmm.
and her condition. It didn't take her long to convince me.
Mm-hmm.
I changed all the plans. And I ended up at Mount Sinai, where they did a major 6-hour surgery.
Wow.
They implanted 2 sets of steel in my back
mm-hmm.
that are there to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that just took me completely out.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't able to paint. I had difficulties sitting down for long periods. I couldn't walk for long periods. And then came along another catastrophe. Because I wasn't active, Mm-hmm. I put on a lot of weight, mm-hmm. eating steaks and chickens mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. pork chop.
Mm-hmm.
Too much of the wrong foods. And then
you're buying into the Big Mo.
And then came along a stroke.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Okay. That one.
So the triple whammy, not even the double whammy. It was a triple whammy. So accident, stroke.
Actually, there were two strokes.
Yeah, wow.
Okay. The second one was the worst
mm-hmm.
because I wasn't able to see. I lost my sight temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my voice for almost an hour. And I couldn't walk. All I remember at the time was my new wife, if I can call her that. Okay. I remember saying, "In the name of Jesus." That's all I heard. And I was out.
Mm-hmm.
When I came to, I think she and my cousin, Lukey, we call him Lukey, Lukey Innocent, they had me set up to fly into Nassau. I was airlifted.
Mm-hmm.
And there I stayed in the emergency room for like 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through a lot.
Yeah. But here you are.
Just trying to survive.
And I should tell the audience, because probably everyone's like got their hankies out and they're blowing their noses. I just have to say that Mo walked in here on his own steam.
Yes. Yes.
Came from the airport with his wheelie bag. So there is a redemption arc.
Yes. I'll tell you this though. I have to thank my wife. I have to thank the people of Abaco.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know it's a small community,
mm-hmm.
and they were sensitive to my plight.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I had to travel, say, from Abaco to the United States mm-hmm. to see the doctor, they were very, very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
The cab drivers, the grounds people, persons with the wheelchairs,
yeah, sure,
they were very, very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that's the beauty of a small community, right?
Yes.
And when we live in a big, I mean, you know, I think people in New York laugh when we say New Providence is a big community because they think 350,000 is a little, but it's kind of a mindset, isn't it? It's not a number, it's a mindset.
Yes.
And I think we're sort of losing that here. We're becoming kind of big city people,
mm-hmm.
A little bit. I mean, obviously it's different. I'm still happy to come home when I come back from another city that people greet me when I cab driver, you know, whoever. Good morning, good afternoon. But that's the beauty of a small community, right? Is that there's so much care for your neighbors.
Yes, mm-hmm. And you know what was interesting? While trying to recover,
mm-hmm.
I got calls to have exhibitions around the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Because here I am now, stuck with all this hard work.
Mm-hmm.
I can't sell it because I can't, you know, mm-hmm. I have nowhere to display.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to make a decision, and I decided to go into Kansas
mm-hmm.
to stage a show in aid of multiple sclerosis. So here I am injured,
mm-hmm.
but getting ready to sell my artwork to help people I didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get back to that.
Yeah, well, that's a very powerful message, because I think, again, you know, coming back from things like that, very often moments like that make you think, funnily enough, outside of yourself, right? Because you realize, in a way, how big the world is.
Yes.
And you reset all of your values, basically, when you have a loss, whether it's a loss of a loved one or
mm-hmm.
a loss of your physical capacity. Or any kind, I think it always does a reset on your brain.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about that after the next break. I'm here in the studio having a very deep discussion. It started off lighthearted, then it went really deep, and you know, hopefully it's going to pick up and get lighthearted again because there's a happy ending, right?
Yes.
With Anthony Big Mo Morley, who is a very well-known Bahamian painter who has an exhibition right now in the project space at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. The show is called The Bahamas on Canvas, Historic and Nostalgic. It opened in May 2nd, and it's on till June 16th, so please rush down there now and see it before it comes down. As you know, the National Art Gallery is open every day, Tuesday through Sunday, 10 to 10 to 5 Tuesday to Saturday, and noon to 5 on Sunday. And on Sunday, it is always free for all Bahamian citizens and residents of the Bahamas. So we hope to see you down there. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9. We'll be right back after this break.